It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, after a holiday break, Nighttime at Noon is back here at City National Arena, and I'm so excited that I am joined by Darren Millard today. Ashley Weiss here, along with Darren Millard. Darren, we don't do many of these shows together.
Not a lot. They try to keep us apart. They're scared because we're going to take over the world. The sports world.
Yep, if we're lucky. I have to say congratulations on making it to Monday, because I think that there were some people, particularly on the interwebs, that were afraid that that might not happen after that one loss. But you and I are part of Positivity Alley, and we're going to reel everyone back in today.
Honestly, I thought it was going to happen in Colorado or Winnipeg, like the scheduled loss, because everything's been so jam-packed. That they got through the Avalanche and got a point out of that game, and then beating Winnipeg was great, coming home with one day off and facing the best team in the National Hockey League and coming out on top in that game, that was huge. The stubbing of the toe or running out of gas, whatever term you want to use, was going to happen eventually. And Saturday night, and then you get a couple of days wrong. You know who's most upset about Saturday night?
Who's that?
Well, maybe not Bruce. Bruce would be right up there, but the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
They didn't need Vegas looking at
to have any extra
disappointing
motivation.
Performance and then having to bounce back. So,
yes, that's a good call.
That's going to be in store. Because Vegas dealt with it. L.A. lost to San Jose, and Vegas played them right after. Remember Seattle after the road trip, and Vegas played them right after. You know you're getting a team hungry to get back on track.
Well, after that game against the Utah Hockey Club, Alex Pietrangelo had some really good things to say about what he wanted to get out of today's practice. Now, that practice just wrapped up, so I want to talk about that in just a little bit. I also don't want to wait too long to get to the good news. Mark Stone joined the team in a non-contact sweater today, so we'll talk about that as well. But since we have not been on the show here in 2 weeks, I made a little list of some of the big things that have happened since the last Nighttime at Noon.
You actually do have a big list there.
Big list. Here we go. Yeah. The Vegas Golden Knights picked up 7 of 10 points on the road. Brett Howden signed a 5-year contract extension. The Golden Knights beat the Winnipeg Jets, who at the time were first in the league. Now they're tied with Minnesota for that position. But nonetheless, at the time, beat the top team in the National Hockey League. And then came the loss to the Utah Hockey Club. So when you look at the last 2 weeks, there has been far more good than bad.
Yeah, getting their footing going on the road. They started scoring again.
Yep.
And were able to fight through adversity, both in Philadelphia, coming back from that deficit, getting a point out of Colorado, and then beating Winnipeg. I think that there's some real progress. And the different line combinations that we've seen, Cal Burke coming up and contributing, the continued excellence from Jack Eichel, and then Ivan Barbashev, that's been incredible to watch. And then the turnover on the blue line. Like they got through that stretch with out a couple of blue liners, and then Alex Pietrangelo coming back.
Yeah, you're having to rotate half of your blue liners because of all of the injuries as that trip has gone on.
You went nine deep
in
the organization in the middle of that road trip.
I also think that if you could take the list of injuries here over the last 3-4 weeks and say this would be the record coming out of it, you'd consider that a big win.
Absolutely. With the schedule the way it was, too, like that's a double whammy with the 5-game road trip. So I think that they have to be comfortable where they played on that road trip and then through the fluidity of the roster.
You mentioned the schedule. Of course, there's games every other day and back-to-backs and all of that jazz throughout all of November. They were on the road. There was a stretch where they were on the road for 17 out of 25 days. You mix holiday time in the middle of that as well with Thanksgiving. Obviously, not a ton of Americans, but still, that's just something else that you throw in, makes everything seem a little bit more busy, right? Things slow down a bit here in December. I think that's something that'll do the Golden Knights well.
Even though there's 3 and 4 coming up this week with the games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, they're through the worst of it. And they have 5 days off between Friday's game and then game next week. And there's another gap in the schedule the week after that. So I think the idea that they can rebuild their foundation now after going through the gauntlet is a really, really positive one. They practiced today. You started off by saying that. When have we been able to talk about what they did in practice or what the vibe was like in practice or the emphasis that the coaching staff was putting on in practice? Because it hasn't been a lot due to the fact that the schedule's been such a grind.
You know, Bruce Cassidy was already predicting that and talking about that lack of practice time during that road trip when talking about just the details of the game that might be lacking. Certainly not an excuse. There's a difference between excuses and reasons, right? And after that game against Utah, Alex Pietrangelo said that they not only needed a good practice, but he expanded on that by saying that they needed an upbeat practice. Seemed like it was today.
Definitely. And having Mark Stone out there adds to the vibe. The goalies did a little bit of work before practice with Sean Burke, and Mark Stone was part of that on sheet B. And then coming over and just getting through the touches and some the fun drills that they do before practice. And then they end with a little bit of a mini scrimmage at center ice, and then being able to, in the middle, do a bunch of their work and find tune the details. And that's what they're doing now. They're just trying to get back to where they were and get a little bit more sharpness in their game. And from what I was able to see, there was a lot of that. And just you add in the Stone factor was really, really fun to watch. There was a little more zip.
There was, for sure. And there was a lot of fun. You really enjoy watching how excited and the Sellies even in practice,
they love to score.
People score. They love to score.
It's amazing. They do this fun whites against darks at both ends of the rink on either goaltender, and they divide them up and they play until somebody scores to kick off practice before they get into the formal part. And the hoots and the hollers and the mocking and the jabbing that goes on after a team scores, they are like kids at that part of the practice. And it's awesome to see.
I think that's the best part about their job, just like it's one of the best parts about our job, is you never have to actually grow up when you're at work.
No, and you know who the guy that leads the charge is? Alex Pietrangelo.
Yeah.
He said
we have to keep the morale up.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that he would
drive
the ship in doing so.
When he's scoring, he's giving it to you and chirping about the plays that they're making. And then his team got scored on at the start of practice today, and he had his hands up, like looking around, like what's going on. I think he was appealing a possession change at one point too. So there was that fun factor that was mixed in. But the most important part will be the details that Bruce Cassidy and John Stevens and Dom Ducharme, Joel Ward were able to put back into place. And they're back into a consecutive game stretch now with Tuesday and Wednesday and then Friday. So you get one good practice. Mm-hmm. That's like five today. That'll be the feeling of it. And then next week you get some rhythm of being able to really – dig into a couple of things. And they've got some players back with Victor Olofsson back. Mm-hmm. So they'll be able to, if they want to, work him back into the power play. There's a couple of things they're going to be able to dabble into.
We'll hear what Bruce Cassidy has to say about how this practice went. Also, his update on Mark Stone, as he did join the team today in a red non-contact sweater. Hopefully by next segment, we'll be hearing from the head coach. Where has this team missed Mark Stone the most, though?
A little bit on the power play. That's cooled off. I think his emphasis there, and they've worked a couple of different people in his position, Nick Waugh and William Carlson. But when you're going through the grind, that enthusiasm that Mark Stone mm-hmm. brings on the ice can just help you enjoy the moment a little bit more or distract you from the grind. So I think there's a little bit. He's a world-class player.
Yep.
5-on-5, that line with Jack and Ivan was one of the best lines in the National Hockey League when he went out. They've done a good job backfilling there, but that obviously has taken at least the right side. 5-on-5 has taken a step back, but probably most point in the power play.
Would be a big gift to get him back. On that note, did you do any Gold Friday or Silver Saturday shopping?
Yeah, I did for myself.
You did?
Tons for myself.
So you got some for yourself.
Tons
no surprise.
For
if you need to get something for other people, though, I have an update for you and everyone else out there. Did you miss Gold Friday and Silver Saturday VGK Authentics deals? Well, you are in luck because VGK Authentics is holding their Medieval Monday sale right now. From game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and everything in between, it's all on sale today only. So head over to VegasTeamStore.com to check out VGK Authentics today. We'll be back right after this.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon from City National Arena. Ashley Weiss and Darren Millard with you. And Darren, we went to break by talking about holiday-related things. So I want to come back from break talking about the same as we await the media availability and press conference from our head coach, Bruce Cassidy. Tomorrow, there's a toy drive, the annual toy drive on Toshiba Plaza. So we need everyone to bring unused, unwrapped toys. You can drop them off starting at 5 o'clock. Significant others of players and coaches will be collecting them until the very end of the first period. So I can't give you an exact time, but before the game would be ideal. Otherwise,
if you could give
probably
an exact time,
7:30.
That'd be pretty cool.
Probably 7. Should I just, I'm going to guess the first period's going to end at 7:52.
Okay, good. 7:52.
That might be way off. That might be way
Lock
off.
Lock it in right there.
7:52. What toys do you think would be great? Is there a toy growing up that you were like, any kid would love to have that?
I like my Lego.
One Lego?
What? No, you guys call them Legos. In Canada, we call them Lego.
You can't do much with one.
So I just
Lego.
Like a Lego set.
Okay.
I think that it's a little different. You buy Legos now where it's a certain thing.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, we used to make things, create things. But I like Lego. I think it's really
back
really
in my day, we
back
were actually creative. That's what I'm hearing right now from Darren Millard. So bring baby Legos, but more than one Lego, because no one could do anything with just one. Anywho, Ivan Barbashev is going to be coming up here briefly. I don't know if we will get to this from Bruce Cassidy, because Ivan Barbashev, I believe, is on his way. We'll get his thoughts on maybe what his son is getting for Christmas.
You can see everybody filing
in. We can see everyone filing in. Wanted to ask you, you mentioned the name Victor Olofsson in his return. Not the ideal game to jump back into, of course. What do you feel, what is he facing? You missed 20 games. You come back. You had also only played 4 games leading into your return with this team.
Yeah,
that's a lot on his plate.
He's closer to starting from the very start, the very beginning of the season, than he is just working his way back after an absence.
Yeah.
So I would think it always takes roughly 3 or 4 games for somebody to get up to speed. It might be 5 or 6 with Victor Olofsson, and it also will depend on who he slots in with, how soon Mark Stone returns to the lineup, out at practice today in a red sweater. Hopefully get an idea from Bruce today. But I think some consistency with the same line mates would be the best way for him to feel comfortable. That's easier said than done. But I would think we're still – and then you've got the layoffs, so some practicing is going to be good for him too. So it's set up well for Victor for a good stretch of games, a good practice. And by the second week of December, I think he should be feeling pretty confident.
Where did you feel like he was meshing with the team the most before the injury?
Power play. Definitely on the power play. He is better at holding on to the puck on that right side than I thought.
I think we're going to take a listen here to Bruce Cassidy until we get Ivan Barbashev up here. Let's take a listen.
It's good for everybody. Get some reps, work on some details. Just kind of get back out there and do a routine. There's not too many teams that hardly don't practice at all for these long matches. It's a good way to iron out some details and work on a few things. So it's good to get back out there as a group.
Good to get Mark out there.
Well, for him, it's probably just as important to get around his teammates again, get going, see live action. So good, yeah. Through it okay, seem to. We'll find out tomorrow.
Bruce, what's the balance between flushing Saturday and also using it as a learning tool?
Yeah, we're not going to dwell on Saturday. It's 4-0 after the first period. I don't think the score was indicative of the whole play. Personally, the analytics backed that up. Didn't go our way, so you got to move on. It was going to be a big hole to dig out of the last two periods, so it's unfortunate.
Get out of this.
But I think
question.
We're going to look at the whole month of November as a group more and got our road game back in order, so to speak. We didn't get very many wins early on, and we were able to do that in November in a road-heavy schedule. Fortunately, the home record went the other way, but I think we knew it would balance itself out on both sides a little bit, so here we are in December. We'll start focus on the next month.
And that was the head coach, Bruce Cassidy. And now we were joined by Ivan Barbashev. Ivan, how are you?
Good, you?
Good. How was practice?
It was good. It was a lot of fun. So it's kind of nice to get a practice that we haven't practiced in a long time. So it was nice to get it away.
When was the last time there was a full-on practice, like not a game day skate?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
It was probably a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, before the road trip.
Yeah, probably. That was the last time.
Nobody goes that long without a practice.
Yeah, but we had a pretty long trip, you know. I think it was back-to-back games, and we just didn't have enough time to practice.
Is this schedule weird this year? I've heard different comments about it, but is it more unique than other years because it's so cramped?
Right now, I feel it's really unique.
Yeah.
You know, we go on a long road trip. Was it 5 games?
Yeah.
Right? 10 days. So you basically play every second day, and then you come back for a back-to-back. Day off yesterday, practice, and we go to another back-to-back. So it's kind of crazy, right?
Try and keep up to that.
Yeah.
When the schedule is that crazy, what are you doing to decompress away from the rink, to chill?
Just try to get some rest, to be honest. You know, just, you know, like in my case, I have to spend some time with the family if I'm home. You know, it's always fun. But, yeah, you just try to get as much sleep as you can.
How many dogs are in the Barbashev household right now, since you're talking about that family time?
It's the same amount of dogs. So
three?
Yeah. It's three dogs and, you know, baby on the way.
Wow. That's busy.
It is.
Yeah, it is busy.
That's really busy. You had Mark out. What was it like having your captain with the full group?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, we definitely miss him. You know, we've had a lot of injuries in the last couple of weeks, and, you know, it's always tough to see players get injured. But, yeah, it's nice to have him back to skate with us. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets healed and comes back as soon as possible.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks good.
Like, full participant. There wasn't anything other than your center ice drill where he was passing the puck to you guys.
Yeah,
but, he was part of every drill.
Yeah, he was. No, he looks good. So hopefully he comes back soon.
What's been the key for you guys with a little bit of a rotation over on the right side with you and Jack?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think we got like a lot of good players. You know, we can play with anyone. But yeah, there's been a lot of switches and changes, you know, injuries and stuff. So we did play with a lot of players in the past couple of weeks. But, you know, it's been fun. You know, we enjoyed to play with everybody. And, you know, it's been a good stretch.
When you look at the offensive side of your game, not just this year, last year too, have you exceeded your own expectations for what you could do offensively? If you go back and kind of think about maybe what your goals were 5 years ago, are you producing even better than you thought you could?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, in St. Louis, I played basically my whole life in the fourth line.
Yeah.
Last couple of years in St. Louis was, you know, I got bumped a little bit higher. But, yeah, this year is different. You know, I think I just, you know, came into the season with the mind of just playing hockey. And, you know, it's been working, so.
You say it's different. What feels different?
I don't know. Production, probably, I'll probably say. But it's just, you know, the biggest change is I just try to play hockey and not to think about some other stuff. So
you don't get caught up in the career best start, the all the goals, dozen goals already?
I mean, I just play hockey, so. I said it, and, you know, it's been fun, so.
What's the most challenging part of playing with Jack? Because sometimes really good players are hard to play with. Have you had to adapt your game over the years?
Yeah, you know, now I have to be dialed in for every single game. You know, I have to be good for him, and because we all know what kind of player he is. You know, he's an elite player, and, you know, it's I think it's my job to be prepared for every single game, to be best for him.
Where I saw that shine through, was it Montreal or Philadelphia where you guys were on the 2-on-1 and he gave you that pass back and nobody thought it was going to you? Did you know?
No.
The play I'm talking
about? Yeah, that was in Montreal.
Did you know that was coming back to you?
No.
So you had to be ready for that. I don't know how you put it in.
I to be honest, I think it was going wide. You know, it just happened to hit the goalie leg and it just went in. Yeah, but I was not expecting to get that pass back.
And what's the conversation with you guys chuckling on the bench after that?
the first thing I said, oh, that thing was going wide. So it was kind of lucky it went in. But, yeah, no, you know, it's Jack. He, you know, he's, sometimes he makes some plays really unexpected. And, you know, it was a really good play by him.
There's been so many goals you've connected on. I'm surprised that you were able to keep track and you knew for sure which game it was, honestly.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, I remember that one because I was not expecting to get a pop back. So.
I still think of you as the guy that goes out and sets somebody's airbag off, like just crunches them. Do you still think of yourself in that way, the physical part, or have you transitioned into having a broader world of your game?
I think this year has been a little bit different. I feel like I start to make more plays instead of physicality, but I think I should go back to physicality as well, too, you know, just to get back to it a little bit more. I think our team needs it sometimes, you know, when the game's not going well. So, you know, I think this is something I can do better.
Does the game feel different for you when you're physically engaged? Do you feel like the other parts of your game elevate when you have that part of your game going?
I think so. I think I just get more dialed in the game, to be honest. And, you know, but it all has to start from the, you know, the puck drop. So,
puck drop. Edmonton tomorrow night. Just give me your sense. It's a rivalry. You haven't gone back and forth a lot with them this year, obviously. But just, is there a different feel about playing the Oilers than any other team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a history, you know, in the playoffs and stuff like this. So, it's always fun to play with them. I mean, against them. You know, they got McDavid, Draisaitl, Bouchard. So it's a really tough challenge for us to play against the best players in the league. And you know, it's I feel like those games are always fun. And looking to our last game in Edmonton, it was a fun one. We came from behind too, and you know, we got a win. So really looking forward for tomorrow.
And you guys have played the good teams really well this year.
Yeah.
The Colorado coming off the road trip. I thought that was going to be the scheduled loss. Then the Winnipeg off the road trip, and you guys stood up there. There's a different feel against the really good teams.
Yeah, I mean, we always try to play our best, to be honest. You know, sometimes it's not there. Like we saw last game, you know, we kind of quickly forgot about that one against Jura. But, yeah, I guess we just ran out of juice or something. But, yeah, it just, you know, it's up to us. We have a really good team with the young players, and we just try to do our best out there.
So is your mindset after a good, fun practice, just clean slate going into tomorrow?
Yeah, just get some rest. You know, it's another back-to-back. You know, we got to play good in those two games because we have a nice break after it. So I think we got like 5 days, so got to be prepared to play those games and just, you know, get some rest.
What are the must-do activities for the Barbashev family the month of December, holiday time, when you have those breaks between games?
Oh, I don't know. Usually I try to bring my kid to skate over here. We do get some ice time family, and that's basically it. You know, he's in the school. I got my parents in town, and they're going to be here for a while too. So there's a lot going on now. So,
what's it like watching them skate?
No, it's fun. It's really frustrating sometimes. you know, I don't know if he gets it yet or not. So, but he's, you know, he's trying to do his best, and you know, it's fun to watch him.
He's still young, but
yeah,
like you forget it hurts to fall when you're just starting out.
Yeah, but he's actually over it now, so it's that's a big thing, because he used to be a little bit scared of it, but now it's getting better. So he's, you know, at least he likes hockey, and he enjoys skating.
Does he watch you on when you're on the road?
I think so, but for the most part, he starts playing his own hockey game at home, so yeah. That's what he does.
The best, right?
Yeah,
like kids being mini sticks and all that.
Yeah, he's into it.
That's great.
Yep.
I don't know if you know this, but there's a toy drive before tomorrow night's game. Your wife will probably be outside collecting toys from fans as they bring them. What was your favorite toy growing up?
Ooh, I don't know.
What would you like to see at the toy drive?
I have no idea.
I went Legos.
That's another thing. He actually said Lego.
I said Lego. I called it Lego growing up.
Do you say Lego or Legos?
Lego.
Right there.
All right, I'm outnumbered at the moment.
Right there.
I'm outnumbered at the moment. The American is losing this battle right now. This is...
Tell you, I got a couple of text people carving me. I'm like, we called it Lego growing up. That's just the way we referred to it.
Well,
play
Ivan,
Lego.
Ivan, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on my side.
Yep. Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll be back right after this. This is Nighttime at Noon, and that was Ivan Barbashev.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy and transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. And as we welcome you back into Nighttime at Noon, for anyone who's just tuning in, just a little recap. Mark Stone joined the team today in a non-contact sweater. Bruce Cassidy ruled him out for tomorrow's game against Edmonton, but didn't say anything beyond that, so that's good. We chatted with Ivan Barbashev as well. Darren, want to go around the league a little bit now. Should we start with Four Nations, as those rosters are soon to be released?
It's a big week in the hockey world.
The
rosters will be announced. Sweden, Finland earlier in the day on Wednesday, and then Canada, the United States, mid-afternoon. So we'll have all of that information for you on the VGK Insider Show on Wednesday, going into that game on Wednesday night against Anaheim. So the players, it's going to be a challenging day for the players to focus.
Yeah.
And then you got this over here, best on best for the first time in years, and then a regular season game on a back-to-back.
Now, we talked about how crazy the schedule has been this month. A lot of it is because things are a bit condensed because of the Four Nations schedule. The players seem excited enough about this that it makes everything they're dealing with right now worth it.
Yeah, it's an investment
right
now in being able to participate in that. And even the players, and the majority of the players, won't participate in the Four Nations, so they'll get some extra downtime. Mm-hmm. So there's some recovery there. So everybody's going to benefit some way out of what's going to happen for those 2 weeks in February. But the players, even those that have participated in the past, like Alex Pietrangelo, he's excited about the potential of being part of this tournament or watching this tournament. And then you've got new players, Mark Stone knocking on the door, and hopefully the injury that's knocked him out doesn't take him out of the mix. I would think that he will still be a part of Team Canada. Noah Hanifin working his way.
Say the stat about Mark Stone that we were talking about during break. Third on the team in
points
despite missing this time.
He's missed half the season.
And that is not a knock on anyone else on the roster, because we've seen depth production from this roster as well, but that really puts into perspective how good he was when he got injured.
He's got 21 points in 13 games.
It's crazy.
And he's number three on this team, ahead of the likes of Hurdle and Dorofeev and Theodore and Pietrangelo, who have all had really, really good starts.
Yep.
So I think that he'll still be in the mix, and you can substitute if there's an injury concern going forward. So I anticipate Mark being back soon, now that he's out there in a red sweater, and he'll be part of Team Canada. But Hanifin and Eichel, Team USA, see if Hanifin can join Jack on that squad. William Karlsson's a lock for Team Sweden. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of questions on Team Canada. Aiden Hill has positioned himself very well in goal for Team Canada. Theodore Pietrangelo on the blue line.
So that's a potential of six Golden Knights.
Seven.
Seven if you include goaltender.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep.
Okay, so seven total. So a rundown. We said Jack Eichel, Alex Pietrangelo, Noah Hanifin, Shea Theodore. That's another thing. We're talking three possible defensemen. That's half the D-core.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Aiden Hill, Mark Stone, did I say his name
William Karlsson.
And William Karlsson. Seven. Yep. That says a lot about the Golden
Knights.
The way
Knights you did
roster.
That is confusing to me, because I go by country. And so I knock off each. So I'm Finland.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I got that one taken care of. Then I went Sweden. Then
William
I went
Karlsson.
Team USA.
Yes.
And then Team Canada.
I was kind of
otherwise I wouldn't be able to keep track of it all.
So I was actually thinking position, I think.
That's your strategy. Okay.
But I forgot about William Karlsson until I got to six, you know, whatever. I should have made this like, list a little bit more organized here.
There's a generation that were too young the last time we did this best on best. And we have four countries taking part this time in 2025 and the full allotment in 2026 at the Olympic Winter Games. But there's a segment of our younger audience that haven't been through this before, mm-hmm. going through the roster assessment and the mock lineups. It's so much fun. And it's in 1998, we had the Olympics and National Hockey Leaguers for the first time. That was a major step. It feels like we're sort of in that same area right now because it's been so long since we've done this.
Do you have a mock lineup for every country?
I do for every country. And
that you made yourself.
I did. I've got it at home. It was part of an assignment. No, it was part of an assignment that that I did for a podcast. And I feel comfortable in my choice. There's a couple of players.
I was going to ask, are there any, and you don't have it in front of you, so this might not be fair to ask, but I'm curious if you have a dark horse on each country that think really should make it.
Jason Robertson, I want to put on Team USA.
He's had the tough start.
He's not on my team right now. He was at the start, would have been at the start. Yep. He's not on my team. Team USA, blue line, John Carlson was on my team at the start. They've been great, but he's not going to be, at least on my mock lineup. And Team Canada, there's a couple of different players. Zach Hyman. Is a good example. Where does Zach Hyman fit from the Edmonton Oilers, who we'll see tomorrow night? If he's not playing with Connor, does he still make your team? So a couple of decisions that were difficult.
And that's certainly something that plays into it.
Absolutely. And I've had a chance to speak to a few of the coaches on Team Canada, and we've had conversations like that. And they had a big gathering in the summer to go over different players and the various assessments and opinions about players. And there's some coaches or management personnel who would bring a player from left field and go, what about this? And everybody would be like, didn't have him on my team. But then they talk about it and try and justify it. It's almost like voting for the Hall of Fame. Like you propose your player and everybody gets to make the pros and the cons.
Chemistry plays a role. Huge role.
For sure. And we've seen it in different teams in the past where you put a player on a team because of chemistry. Adam Deadmarsh, Team USA, back in the day. I think that does play a certain role in it.
On to strictly National Hockey League talk.
All right.
Aside from, unless you have anything else.
No.
And your arsenal.
I honestly can't wait.
I know.
It's going to be so exciting. And I have this grandiose plan to shut it down and sort of decompress during those 2 weeks. But there's no way. I'll be watching every game, every minute, and can't wait to get our Olympic primer.
Yes.
Basically what it is. But these teams both want to win this, and players want to excel, especially the guys that are knocking on the door, working their way into the team. They want to lock in their participation for Milan.
So Wednesday, VGK Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas for Derek Millard. Giving you all the news and updates there. We hope to also chat with Bruce Cassidy once those rosters are announced. So stay tuned for that as well.
And it's a game day for us.
It is.
So
yes.
There's a lot happening on Wednesday. And that's the advantage of the Pacific time zone is we'll get the news earlier in the day and then the game against Anaheim.
Pacific time zone is the best for sports. It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Hawaii, you're too far away because things start too early.
Yep.
So the Pacific time zone is absolutely locked in. No. My only criticism of it.
The 3:30 when Vegas is on the East Coast.
No, I don't mind that because the early games, I don't mind my early games. It's at 10 o'clock. I'm used to the Eastern time zone being able to flip over to another couple of games. There's no more.
It's
games
bedtime.
At 10 o'clock.
It's bedtime. You're supposed to lock it down, get your 8 hours of sleep, and get ready for the next
day.
So
I've adjusted now. for the first 2 years I lived here, I'm like, where's my game? Where's
See,
my
See, I don't
game?
Mind it either, though, because I have a hard time if it's a good game just going, how am I supposed to go to sleep after that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hyped up.
Absolutely.
You can't just fall asleep.
So, and I'm flipping around all over the place, so I've seen most of the games or parts of the most of the games, so I don't have to go through my highlights or game recaps. So that's the only adjustments that I've had to go through.
Something you pointed out, I can't take credit for this, but I do want to talk to you about it. When you look at point percentage in the National Hockey League, the top four teams with the best point percentage are the Minnesota Wild, the Washington Capitals, the Winnipeg Jets, Carolina Hurricanes. You would not have written that up.
No. And point totals are Minnesota, Winnipeg, Washington, New Jersey.
New Jersey's
Who didn't make the playoffs last year and change coaches. You've got two new coaches in there, if you want to include New Jersey, Carolina, sort of the same. So it's not just that bump on that part. There's three teams that have established coaches from a year ago. Minnesota is a great story. Turning their non-playoff year into an appearance. Winnipeg coming out of they were a top four team a year ago, but being able to try to take a step beyond their playoff departure a year ago. Washington, I'm sorry, this was not on my bingo card. Not like Ovechkin is the story, but they've been able to do it when he wasn't producing and when he hasn't been in the lineup. So that's the most impressive team that I've seen
Washington.
This year is the way Washington's been able to play. I love Toronto. Like, they're a different team than they've ever been before under Craig Berube now.
So much better
now.
Defensively.
The way the players on the Vegas Golden Knights talked about playing Toronto, it was like they were talking about a different franchise. Mm-hmm. But Washington's success has been impressive.
What's funny about that, too, is that was the Golden Knights' first road game.
Yeah.
And that was only Washington's second game of the entire season, and they had lost their first game, which was their home opener. So when Vegas lost that game, it was before we knew Vegas would have any kind of road struggle. It was before we knew Washington was going to be this good. It was like, oh, Washington was just extra motivated.
Yeah.
They dropped their home
They're
opener.
Lucky.
It's only their second game, and now here we are. I think I saw Alex Ovechkin is skating again.
Yes. In a tracksuit and out there in a helmet, gloves, and a tracksuit. So that coming off a broken leg, that's pretty good. I sort of penciled him into January coming off a broken leg.
He's got to chase down that record.
And now we're start of December. I don't know how much runway he's going to need to get back, but if he returns a few games before Christmas, there's still a chance. I thought he was going to do it this year. Now it's back into doubt. He's going to have to
26 to tie it left, 27 to break it left.
Yeah.
That's the Alex Ovechkin tracker in terms of catching Wayne Gretzky all time. We're going to hit a quick break, but before, you know what? Watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. I didn't know if I'd already done this commercial. It was the Vegas Golden Knights app commercial that I already did.
So I have them both.
This is different. I do as well. Watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or TV to watch the Vegas Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. We'll be right back here on Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, thanks for joining myself, Ashley Weiss, and Darren Millard for this episode of Nighttime at Noon. We heard a little bit of what Bruce Cassidy had to say earlier, and we're going to tune in to the rest of the head coach's press conference right now. Let's take a listen.
Like the
team defense, are you defending at a level good enough where you want it to be?
No. Nope. We got to get better there. Well, I think he's strong on the puck. That's it. Like, you rarely see him on his, when he ends up down, it's usually his edges give out. So that's the difference. He doesn't have busy hands, I think, either. He's quick hands, but he stick handles when he needs to, and he's got the puck out in front of him, so he's pass ready. and just strong on his skates. I think that allows him to move a lot. If you're not stick handling all the time, you can move laterally and move the puck quick. So powerful stride, so probably deceptive speed if you're a defender. But, no, I think he's just a really strong guy on the puck.
Is he still potentially an option for the next 3 games?
He's back with us in red. I would rule him out tomorrow after that. I don't know what he'll be because he needs to be in a full color before. So if that happens tomorrow, but right now we're planning on not having. But if we do, that would be awesome.
Talk about how the Four Nations condenses everything for at least the first half of the season. Rosters come out Wednesday, and there's still a chance a lot of your guys will be there in February along with you. How are you balancing the aspect of the rest versus the schedule and how to kind of battle?
Well, that's a ways away, and once we know who's in and who's out, I think it becomes a little more individual too. I think we weren't even thinking of that in November. Like, we rested a lot of days only because we were playing with call-ups, and so we're stressing some of our top guys a little more in terms of minutes. Just so many days on the road, so we were getting rest there. Now December's a different animal. We got a little, after this week, there's a little bit of time to do what you want. You can practice and tidy things up or rest, right? So that's a nice luxury to have. Ours happens to come in December because of November. So I haven't charted it out that long. We'll see who's on the team, where we're at a little later on, and go from there. So it's hard to think of that. I mean, it's Vegas Golden Knights first. We have to do whatever's best for our team here and sort of worry about that as it comes.
How do you make those decisions, the rest, practice?
Well, some of it is made for you. If you get in at 3 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning, sleep science guys have a say on that. You can still practice in the afternoon, but does that disrupt the routine? Some of it's gut feel for your team. Hey, they look tired. They're tired. I'm tired. They must be really tired, type of thing. And then there's communication with your top guys, right? You always go to them, and it's like, where's the team at? And you may disagree on that. Like, there's coaches always want to fix things, but sometimes you got to do it through video and just talking through it, as opposed to, you know, getting on the ice and going through the reps. So probably those 4 or 5 things come into play. Sometimes it's factors in, are you winning, right? If you're winning and it's working, then sometimes you got to sort of roll with it. If you're losing, do you need to get out there and fix it, even though you're fatigued? And that's a tough balance, because you want to fix it, but you don't want to take away energy from your next game, because there is always a next game right around the corner. So that I think that's the toughest challenge for a coach. If you're winning, it's easy to give them rest. If you're losing and you need to fix stuff, that's a tough one. Good energy. I thought he made some plays. Probably a little rusty with getting his shot off, but I expected that. I wasn't going to judge him on. Let's look at him this week now that he gets some game reps consecutively and see where he's at. Well, it's tough to practice, you know, competitive drills when you're only doing morning skates. It's a lot of touches. You can work on your rushes. Power play gets their touches. So it is the other side of the puck, and stick detail, all that stuff takes time. You got to go through it. Your one-on-ones, you have to practice to get back into the, hey, play through hands. And you don't want to be doing that in the morning of a game when you're playing every second day, because can take away from energy. So yes, it does suffer. Stopping and starting, you know, sometimes you do a few drills in practice. Hey, so that's something you'd have a hard time correcting without practice time. Yes.
So moral to the story, Darren, between all of the practice discussion there, what we had at the top of the show, Ivan Barbashev sitting here saying how good it was to get practice. I think that's really the main thing. When you have a player excited about a practice day, that's when you know it was needed.
There's times in the season where they're like, please, not another practice.
Please cancel.
We're nowhere close to that.
Yeah.
They were, to a player, excited to get out there and get back into the rhythm of a skate, doing some of the drills that they haven't done in a long time. And not full battle drills, but certainly more intense than a morning skate.
And if you're wondering where Bruce Cassidy's priorities are, he built on it after Dave Gosher asked a question about team defense. But when he was initially asked, is the team defense where it needed to be, his answer was no.
No.
It's not. And it is not common for Bruce Cassidy to give a short answer. So that tells you where he's at with that, I would say.
Yeah, I think that they've given up more goals in certain places than they would like. And they would certainly be focused in the next 10 days when they've got these stretches between games of being able to fine-tune some of that and make everybody a little more connected, the forward, the D, in front of the net, and just being able to have the confidence to lock down an entire game. They've been really good late in games, but the entirety of a game, being able to limit the opposition scoring.
Would we look at this week's schedule for the Golden Knights? You have Edmonton tomorrow, followed by Anaheim in Anaheim, and then Dallas. This is not to write off Anaheim. They have to take that game seriously, but I want your thoughts.
Anaheim's better in the standings than you would automatically think.
Yes.
They're closer to being competitive.
Yes.
So that'll still be a challenging game on a back-to-back.
Yes. Edmonton, what you see out of them, and the challenge that Dallas will present on Friday.
Edmonton, I think you, to a large extent, know what you're going to get. Can you finish against them? Can you take advantage of some of their weaknesses and keep the puck out? And I think that is a game that will grab similar motivation as we saw against Colorado and against Winnipeg. We'll see a tighter game. I'm anticipating seeing a really good response by Vegas, especially on the defensive side. And we'll see what happens being able to score, because there's opportunities there against that Edmonton team. Dallas will be intriguing. Haven't had a chance to really see them up close yet. And the playoff battle last year that was so tightly contested.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Absolutely. It's going to be a good week of hockey. Also, for the Henderson Silver Knights as well, Saturday is the Lucky Launch.
So love Lucky Launch.
Love Lucky Launch. Bring a stuffed animal. You chuck it on the ice.
Yep.
It's what an experience. So a lot of good hockey on deck, like we talked about. Thank you so much for watching Nighttime at Noon. Don't forget to bring your toys to tomorrow's game against Edmonton starting at 5 o'clock on Toshiba Plaza. We'll be collecting those until the end of the first period. We'll see you here next week on Nighttime at Noon. Thanks for this, Darren. This was fun. I don't know if we're taking over the world, but this was fun.
World's our oyster. Look out.